Thank you, Genevieve, so much for helping us in our walk with Christ today. I love you. Love you, love you. Hope you all had a wonderful Independence Day yesterday. Thanks for taking time to pause. Just a reminder, a couple of things. I really miss seeing you. More importantly, though, is please remember that Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead for you, too, and that you are precious in his sight. Let's pray. Dear God, open our eyes that we may see, open our minds that we may believe, open our hearts that we may love, and our lives that we may serve and so make a difference in this world. For Jesus' sake, amen. Well, our parables continue, don't they? Some years ago, someone told me that Jesus' parables are a lot like a fish hook. You know, a fish hook goes like that, and it's got that little barb on the bottom. It goes in really, really easily, but once you get to the end of it, it's kind of hard to get out. Jesus' parables, like fish hooks. So in today's parable, Jesus reminds us of the need to pray constantly, right? And not to lose heart. He tells a story about a widow who's seeking justice and about a judge. Well, a judge who, if you caught it, what did he say? He didn't believe in God or respect anyone. What do you call that? Is that narcissistic personality disorder? Is that just your run-of-the-mill everyday egomaniac? I don't know, but the good news is the widow receives justice. In telling the parable, Jesus encourages us to what? Pray, especially when we're coping with disappointments. Have you been treated poorly? Anyone? I can't see your hands raising up there, right? Anyone been treated poorly or seeking justice? You know what we're talking about. We can relate. The interaction between the judge and the widow is vivid. It's psychologically balanced. And there's even a little underline of humor in that story, if you noticed. If a despicable human being like this judge can be badgered into acting justly, how much more willing and able is our loving God and generous God going to respond to our needs when we present them to God? Beautiful story. So, a few questions. You know, I'm always asking questions, I know. Questions. Given that there's a God to pray to, right, and that the world is in need of prayer, how are we doing prayer-wise? How faithful, how serious are we in our prayers? I don't know about you, but I need help before I get out of bed. I can still wreck a one-car parade. I need to turn my will and my life over to the care of God every day. How are we doing in our prayers? Prayer was given to us by God for our benefit. Someone said years ago that the function of prayer is not to influence God, but rather change the one who prays. Let me say that again. The function of prayer is not to influence God, but to change the one who prays. So if that's the case, what needs to change in our lives and in our attitudes? Are we quick to blame others for everything, or are we continuing to take that searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves? We live in a world that is in desperate need of prayer. How are we doing prayer-wise? More questions. Do you have people in your life who bug you? I'm sure we all do. We can relate to that. We let other people bother us and bug us. You know what I mean. People we wonder about, people we judge, maybe name call or get angry at, or you just can't stand them. Well, have you thought about praying for them? Remember when we were kids, they had us memorize the small commandment, or the small catechism, and that eighth commandment, there's one in there about the importance of defending our neighbor's actions in the kindest ways. Pray for people who bug us. What a novel idea. And then also, we can be so impatient, can't we, when it comes to God hearing our prayers because they're not answered immediately. We live in a time and age where we have constant, instant gratification, constant contact, one touch of the button on your phone or your computer, and you can go anywhere in the world just like that. And Jesus, in today's gospel, is asking us to do what? To be patient, to not lose heart. Pray always and don't lose heart. I love what it says in Romans 8. There's that little line in there that says, we see through a mirror dimly, which means we don't see very well at all. We don't have the entire full picture. We don't know what's best for us or for others, but God does. Absolutely. Our prayers will be answered, just maybe not in the way we're expecting. Faithful prayer comes not from guilting people to get on their knees. No. Faithful prayers comes from trusting in our hearts that the heart of God that we see in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we understand the grace and the generosity of God, we can't help but seek God day and night. Such prayers, they don't come from a hope of that we'll get what we want, but from a confidence that in Jesus, God will make everything right. I don't know about you, but do you ever pray the Lord's Prayer like it's on autopilot, right? Ever notice, though, that the Lord's Prayer encourages us to have wide open prayers? I mean, look at it. There's things in there for, we pray for daily bread and forgiveness of sins and freedom from ego, so we can pray for me and my, or you and yours. But let's not stop there, because the Lord's Prayer continues and does what? Talks about praying for God's honor and God's will and ends with God's kingdom and power and glory. A far bigger agenda, a wider open horizon than simply me and mine and you and yours. So cultivate big prayers. Take the big picture to the Lord in prayer. Stories told years ago of a professor named Robert Shiller who won the Nobel Prize in economics. He called his brother, who was living in Detroit, and simply said, "Have you heard the news?" "Yes," his brother replied. "The Tigers lost." Shiller wins one of the world's most top honors, and his brother is concerned about a baseball game? No offense, Pastor Rudd, but a baseball game? We're like that with our prayers sometimes, aren't we? We're introverted and small in scale and local. Jim Wallace says it so beautifully when he said this, "Our prayers are not for peace, but for parking spaces." Prayer is much more than that. Prayer is conversation with our best friend, our Savior. This parable invites us to look at justice, to consider all the things in the world that are wrong with the world, all the things that are contrary to God's purpose of justice and peace and fulfillment and blessing. That should drive us to prayer. But prayer isn't always easy, is it? Phil Yancey said it this way. He said that prayer is a subversive act in a world that constantly calls faith into question. A subversive act that constantly calls faith into question. We know what he means, right? a world full of virus and, you know, we're worried about the economy and war and violence and injustice and anarchy and unrest and famine and disease and ignorance and corruption, anxiety, waste, and on and on and on. Which brings us to the end of the parable. The barb on the hook, right? The challenge to us. Luke 18, verse 8. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Let's pray. Empower us to pray always and not to lose heart, Lord. Encourage us to take everything to you in prayer. Grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. In your name, Jesus. Amen.